You bring your phone everywhere. Work, school, the movies. Now you can bring it to an Xfinity store for an easy way to switch to Xfinity Mobile, a new kind of network designed to save you money. You can get up to 5 lines of talk and text included with Xfinity Internet at no extra cost, so all you pay for is data. It's never been easier to switch to Xfinity Mobile and keep the phone you love. Click here to see how. Sorry, I gotta take this. Restrictions apply. Limited to select mobile phones. Requires activation of a new line of Xfinity Mobile. Up to 5 devices per account. New Xfinity Internet customers limited to up to 2 lines pending activation of Internet service.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello, and welcome to another Soccer to the Max. As hopefully this one has way less audio issues than the previous show did on Monday, but thankfully you could still hear my wonderful co-host just fine. Should be sounding better this time. I'm your host, Sean Garmer, and here with me, of course, is, as always, Mr. Eric Watkins.
Yeah, sure we got the title right this time, because I am prepared to talk Aussie rules if need be.
Well, I'm not, so you would be talking by yourself there. And promising something awesome, apparently, is Miss Rachel McCrigger.
Give me a P.
P.
Come on, say P. There you go.
P.
Give me R.
R.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me another S.
S.
What does that spell?
Press.
And we have so much press to talk about here. Oh, I'm so excited. Wasn't that awesome?
Yes, that was awesome. And of course, if you didn't get it, Rachel is a member of the press, but she's talking about Kristen Press here.
And... oh my gosh, I didn't even catch on! Oh! That's so dope.
So, see, this is why we all work together. We don't even talk about these things beforehand, and they just happen. So, anyway, yes, there is a lot of Kristen Press to talk about, as we still don't know where she's going to play club soccer, but we do know she's not playing any international soccer, at least for the next 2 friendlies against Mexico, because she's not on that squad. We'll talk about the squad, do the rest of our NWSL previews, and just a little bit, if you didn't catch the first show, which again, I apologize for my audio static that happened every time I talked, apparently, you could still hear Rachel just fine as she did a cracking job talking about all the teams. So you definitely want to go check that out. And of course, check out lastwordonsoccer.com because she has a bunch of previews for the NWSL teams as well. So you want to go check out one of our partner sites to go read all of those because they're great. And of course, we are the official soccer podcast at W2Mnet.com, and you can go visit us there or join the whole W2M network and get everything we do. And let's kick this off, though, guys, with the news that finally, even though it's been like roaming around forever, even before the whole EPL season started, this was the deal, right? Zlatan was going to come back from this crazy ACL injury, and he was going to play great, and then he was going to leave and go to the LA Galaxy. And this morning, Kevin Baxter, one of the guys you can count on when it comes to Los Angeles Galaxy reporting, reported that, reported twice in the same syntax there, but whatever, it all works. He said, Zlatan Ibrahimovic finally going to the LA Galaxy. 2-year deal, apparently, for the 36-year-old man. Does this finally hit that thing they were missing ever since they lost their last big-name striker?
To be determined. I mean, granted, the pressure, you could say, especially with United, the pressure was a little bit off of Zlatan, even with his success, because you had incoming guys like Paul Pogba, like all of your other big signings, what have you.
Lukaku was taking his minutes.
Exactly. So how is he going to be now where all of a sudden the pressure's on again. And you hit the nail on the head. He's 36. Yes, you can say the whole MLS retirement league, blah, blah, blah. He could still have a little bit of success, but there's going to be some interesting mental things going on here.
Yeah, when Robbie Keane came in, it was a different deal for him, right? He was younger. Mm-hmm. He had a lot more to prove, I think, at that point. And he really got to kind of carry that banner for the Galaxy. Yes, the Galaxy sort of need a scoring force right now. And Zlatan can provide that. It's a different thing than when, like, you know, Steven Gerrard came and they were expecting him to work wonders there in the middle. And that just never worked out for him. And he had a awful twilight to his career. Zlatan has a little bit to prove, though, here, I guess, maybe with wanting to say, look, you haven't been playing me that much. Look what I'm doing over here, right? And technically, he did say he's not ruling out a, if you call me, I will come for the World Cup roster. So if he's banging in goals for the Galaxy, even though, again, it's not the same as banging in goals for Manchester United, maybe if you're Sweden, you're looking at that.
But I mean, timing-wise, you're really coming down to the wire. Isn't the deadline for World Cup rosters May 14th?
Yeah, but he cut ties with United, like, yesterday, right? So he's right. Free to go off and play for them and sometime in April?
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying. You're not giving yourself too much time to even prove. Right, but
couldn't Sweden be like, look, let's say Zlatan plays decently but doesn't play extremely well, or he isn't in form at the Galaxy and it takes him, because there is an adjustment period for MLS, right? Normally you don't just come in and start just
right.
Hitting it right off. You gotta adjust. Let's say that they just put him on the roster. If he goes and has a bad time, or they bring him in for the friendlies, right, and he doesn't do well at all, they could just say, hey, he has an injury. He's out. I mean, it doesn't really hurt them that much if they name him and then they have to take him off.
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying. For Sweden, it's a win-win. But if you're looking, but if Zlatan's coming in with this mindset, you're really not giving yourself as much time with the Galaxy if you're really trying to prove a point. If you're just going for the sake of being on the roster and taking your chances, okay, I get that completely. But I don't know if this is the kind of game he's willing to play.
Rachel, I mean, I know Seattle is big rival to the Galaxy historically and all that. Does this make you want to watch the Galaxy at all more, knowing that you got a big guy like Zlatan coming?
I think it's intriguing really only because of the name. He hasn't really played in a good while, so obviously he'll be shaking off some rust. Like I said, really only interesting because of the name, but I can see a good competition, a nice battle between him and Clint Dempsey.
Yeah, it would certainly be also a battle in who can be the dirtiest as well, right? Just, you know.
And doesn't this, like, make you think, too, like, to the retirement league? Stereotypes, I think that really just adds to it.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I mean, let's, like, it's not like they've just had a slew of these guys coming, right? You have, for every Kaká, you have a lot of younger guys that have been coming lately. So it's not like it was before where, oh, Beckham's coming. Well, we're going to have a ton of other guys around that age coming too. It seems to be more of, you get that one big star that comes at the twilight, and then you got to put a bunch of younger guys around him for this to succeed. You know, like Gauss, you're going to have the Dos Santos brothers, you know, who are not at that age. You got the Alessandrini. You got some other guys around them that are, it's going to help. But it, you know, it doesn't take away that moniker either. It's just, I think that gets overblown a bit too, though.
Plus, this is going to be just in time for the Galaxy to make that first LA Derby a little bit more enticing. And hopefully and thankfully this one won't be overtaken by the NFL draft.
Anything is going to get overtaken by the NFL draft.
Let me rephrase. They won't be played simultaneously.
Yeah, let's hope that is somebody at MLS is smart enough not to. But, you know, they've also shown that they don't really care.
And well, at the same time, you're not competing with a 10-hour draft like you were before. Oh, God, I remember that night so vividly. I'm just hoping that in that case, I hope they just do it right. Because now you have some extra oomph.
Well, perhaps if Zlatan does well, he will get to play against one of his old squads in Atlanta, August 1st. Against Juventus, as they are the all-star opponent for the MLS All-Stars.
Boy, is that going to be a raucous crowd.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. You know there's going to be some... wonder if there's going to be some ultras wanting to go against that Atlanta crowd there in Mercedes-Benz. That should be a fun one. Especially depending on who Juventus brings, right?
Mm-hmm. So,
they'll be in a preseason by that point. So, you know, Giovinco also might want to have something to say. lots of history there for some of these MLS teams. Should be fun, I would say.
A wise choice, especially with the terms of the partnership looming, you're keeping with getting these heavy hitters as long as this format is going to be around. So, very good choice. Very good choice.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's still the All-Star game, right? It's mm-hmm. a little more fun than, say, the Pro Bowl or whatever, but I'm not just totally, oh, I'm going to watch this All-Star game.
Well, I mean, I'm going to tune in, and what I mean by that is, we know when we talked about the partnership MLS has with Liga MX,
mm-hmm.
and we know about the whole looming thing about potentially, you know, MLS All-Stars versus Liga All-Stars, which could be coming right in just a couple years' time. But in leading up to that, I'm glad that MLS hasn't thrown this format away by playing against the European teams, and you're still getting big-time European teams as part of, I guess, winding this down before you get the new format going.
I mean, it also helps, like, LAFC has that partnership with Barcelona.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Manchester City, of course, owning NYCFC, so that helps get those big teams interested, but you also got those teams looking at some of the MLS players too, right? So
mm-hmm.
it's all a continuing process for them. I wonder if we'll ever... I do like the fact that they're going a little bit more local, though, that they've realized that you don't have to make it all about the European teams. You can have that Liga MX influence, and it makes for a more raucous crowd, maybe a bit more intensity in the matches, you know. Not that the All-Stars don't care, because they obviously show what they do. Just saying.
They'll care even more than they already do.
So finally, before we get to all of the NWSL U.S. Women's National Team stuff, once again, the 2026 World Cup's in the news because, obviously, both Morocco and the United States, the United CONCACAF contingent there with Canada and Mexico are trying to get the support of Asia in the voting process. And Saudi Arabia apparently is not happy with Morocco at all because they are neutral or pro-Qatar in this feud that they're having with, you know. So the U.S. might get a hand there, but the U.S. also has some things against it because they originally had voted for Sheikh Salman and Prince Ali in the when they were running for FIFA president, but then U.S. went with Gianni Infantino in the next round after voting for him one time. So.
Not to mention our issues that we kind of started over in that region with Qatar and our own little issues that are popping up with Saudi Arabia. Oh, this is not going to be pretty.
Saudi Arabia also, along with other nations, is accusing Qatar of supporting terrorism. And since Morocco is walking that fine line, they're not happy about that either. So, you know, even though Cordero, you know, Carlos Cordero is out there saying geopolitics is not going to have anything to do with this, it seems like it is. So
that was he made a funny.
The plot thickens with this thing. I feel like we're going to talk about this every show until they finally have the voting of something else creeping up when it comes to who's going to get this World Cup bid, you know?
As the World Cup turns.
We need to have that segment. I need to have the song play and everything. Everything else.
Get on it. I mean, you can't really get in trouble because it's not on the air, so.
But it's true, though. So it's no, it's not like I'm making something up here.
Exactly. That's why it's perfect. I can even do the voiceover for it.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd be even happier that I wouldn't be doing it. So Jo Ellis has named her 22 players that are going to be on the U.S. Women's National Team roster when they play two friendlies against Mexico, one on April 5th and one on April 8th. Of course, that April 5th one's right there in your backyard, Jacksonville.
Eric, and so. Unfortunately, it comes a time when I'm kind of too broke to get tickets. So, yeah. I know.
Save them for the Armada.
Yeah, not to mention tickets are going to be dirt cheap for the Armada, thanks to playing the NPSL and only having a handful of home games. So, yeah.
You might even get some free tickets to that.
Well, they haven't gone that far yet, but I mean, if they're offering cheap booze, that's going to entice me. I'll say that.
Hey, as long as you provide the booze, you get a lot of people
going. Exactly.
So, 20 of the 22 players were in the She Believes Cup. And, of course, Becky Sauerbrunn gets to come back after missing She Believes with her foot injury. And Rachel's favorite choice, Ashley Hatch, is on the squad. Thanks to perhaps an injury to Julie Ertz. Taylor Smith is also missing. But the most direct reason, perhaps, is Jo Ellis' decision to not include Kristen Press because, in her nice PR way of saying that Kristen Press is not playing, so why am I going to bring a player that's not playing onto a team that is getting ready for, you know, World Cup qualifying and everything else. So I feel like that's the PC way of saying that. But I feel like also, Rachel, when it comes to these things, many times the national team coach, and we've said how much Jill sometimes is very much like Bruce, in that when the league is not having a very nice time with the player, the national team usually coincides with that. So I feel like this is more of a, hey, you need to get it together with NWSL here, or you won't be playing the next time we have friendlies either.
Or just go overseas to Sweden, for the love of God. Listen, we are so close to the start of the NWSL season. It is literally 2 days away.
Yep.
Coaches know exactly what they're doing. They have their, up in Seattle, Vlatko Andovski has his roster and lineups ready. I don't understand what Christian Press is going through her mind thinking, oh, well, I'm going to go so late in the season and make these teams change their roster. Unpopular opinion, I think it's a good idea that Jill Ellis left her off the roster. You're not in preseason, you're not conditioning, then you're not ready to play. And frankly, she really hasn't been used much in the last couple games. To Christian Press's defense, I think she's a great player. This is no hate whatsoever on her. I think she's a good player. I feel bad that she got the short end of the stick, but that's why I hate three-way trades. You're with a trade as big as the one that they had, with big players like Sam Kerr and Carly Lloyd and, you know, Nikki Stant and all these different types of people, you're not going to make everybody happy in this trade. And sometimes you have to take a bit of a risk and take a little bit of your pride away and just play the game, because there are so many people that have gotten cut on these rosters. Players that just got drafted back in January, already cut, and Christian Press wants to complain about going down to Houston and playing in a professional league. If you're complaining so much, go to Sweden where they want you, where they had contracts ready for you. It's simple math.
Yeah. I mean, Houston just sent one of the players they got in the dispersal draft to Orlando. So they keep sending, sending players away and getting other, you know, we've seen, we talked about it last time, Verapal getting some very eclectic group of players to bring in that she wants. And sometimes, look, like you said, right, you got to kind of deal with the hand that's being dealt. Even Carly Lloyd wasn't happy last year, but she still played. And then she got rewarded this season, right, by getting traded to the team she did want to play with. I can understand Kristen Press not wanting to waste a year of her career, that those are not guaranteed to you, playing for a team you don't want to play for. But you have options. You just talked about it. You got Sweden. If they wanted to force a big enough trade, start talking to your friends to see. You know, you got friends all over from the U.S. women's national team. Start talking to your friends. See if they can get into an ear of a coach and see if they can make something happen. But like we talked about last time, it's very that's a slim chance when all those teams got who they wanted and they're getting ready for this season. So either play or don't.
I kind of have to backtrack a little bit on my statement from last week or Monday or whenever I said it, that this is making the NWSL look bad. Sure, the NWSL doesn't look great for this, but it doesn't make Christian Press look any better. I don't understand. It's like in football when people hold out on contracts. You're not going to get paid money if you're not there.
Oh, right. Trust me. In a couple of years ago in arena football, I dealt with this exact same issue. And I will tell you this. It was not resolved clean, the main player, the key player of the trade, finally reported, but then played one game, then was traded back, and it affected both teams throughout the entirety of the season. And it really wound up messing up two franchises that year. So the league, I think, is handling this the best that they can, but there's no real winners right now. And the longer this goes, there's not going to be any real winners.
Yeah, I mean, she can't get traded back in this scenario. She's going to be behind another, the MVP. So, I mean, you're asking for a bigger problem. At least with Houston, you know you'd probably be starting if you would have just been there in training. So, I mean, again, I get it that the point is you want to be happy where you're playing. But I don't think that Joe Ellis and whoever else had a hand in this decision is wrong in saying, look, you need to be playing, and preferably we would want you to be playing with the team that you got traded to because you didn't make a decision to do anything else. And because you're not doing that, well, you're not going to play for the U.S. Women's National Team either, because it does set a bad precedent that you're trying to promote that these players need to be playing. And if they're not playing, then why should they be playing for the highest team that you have in the land for your national team? So people can complain and moan about, oh, she's getting punished and whatever. She can have her way you want, but that's stupid to play her right now.
Exactly. Go ahead, Eric.
No, I was just going to say, at this time of year, when you're gearing up for your club season, these friendlies going into those down the road, the start of World Cup qualifying and going into the World Cup next year, minutes are key. Get yourself in a situation where you are getting minutes. Get your match fitness. Get your conditioning. Get minutes. She's not giving herself the opportunity to get any minutes. So if you're not getting any minutes, why bother?
If I see one more tweet that says, "Dear Christian or Free Christian Press," I think I might lose it, honestly.
It's just crazy. Like, people need to stop with the, we need to have, I mean, you know, it's like, again, it goes to that entitlement, right, of this generation. I'm not saying that this never happened back in the day, because it did. But the entitlement, again, of, like, right now, of, you know, back then, nobody had the, when you got traded to a team, you played, because that was it. You didn't have the option of yelling and screaming until you got to where you wanted to go, right? You played. She has options to get out of the league entirely. Maybe she doesn't really want to do that, and perhaps that's why she's kind of not just taking the first ticket out of there, because you'd think if she did want to take that Sweden position, she would have taken it by now. But it could just be, you know, a tactic to see if Houston will, like, maybe offer her more money, or if somebody will come in for her from the NWSL or something. But we keep saying this, to say it again, it's getting harder and harder the closer you get to the season, and we're as close as you can really get right now. And to get off the Kristen Press thing for a minute, just this, Becky Sauerbrunn is coming back. We saw how well the team played defensively. Going to be interesting to see if they switch that up with these friendlies. If they play, like, you know, who they play with Becky, if they go to the old form of defense for one game and maybe have her come off as a sub. What do you think? Do they, because they played really well without her.
Well, I think, well, somebody that played in her position was Tierna Davidson. And I think whenever you look at the two players, you're going to want to put Becky Sauerbrunn over her. I agree that they played well without her, and that's a really good sign that it shows that you don't always need Becky, which, I mean, you know, injuries could happen at any time. You don't want them to, but, you know, just in case, it's nice to know that you have a team that's capable of doing it. But I think Becky coming back is more than just on the pitch. She's going to be a teacher now for Tierna Davidson. And she's been around her for a few camps now, but any camp that she can get to be around her, Tierna Davidson to Becky Sauerbrunn, is just, she's getting a world of knowledge from her.
Yeah, you're right about that. And, I mean, they do have the option of moving somebody into, because, you know, they've had that since Julie Ertz has been in there and done well, of having her in that one spot. And now they have to find somebody else to put there. And we've seen, you know, Abby Delcamper was doing great at just sending balls in. Did they put her in that spot and maybe give an option to put Tierna Davidson and Becky together back there? Do they? I hope she doesn't do this, because we saw how this doesn't work. But, I mean, I guess she could go try the whole put Becky Sauerbrunn in a defensive midfield again.
Don't even say those words.
You know it could happen.
Well, she also put Crystal Dunn at a right back position. So, yeah, anything can happen. She also put Sofia Huerta, a forward, in a right left back position, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is these are friendlies, so we're going to see a lot of these players. So you'll get to see Ashley Hatch. She won't get to just sit on the bench and not do anything. Hopefully it's true. But, I mean, you will. The good thing by then is they'll have at least a couple of weeks of NWSL action. Perhaps some things will open up for some of these players, too, because you never know. Injuries happen. Maybe somebody's not in form right to start the season, so they don't start. They just come off the bench. It's going to be an interesting one, as NWSL, again, is literally a couple of days away. And because of that, we got to keep going with our previews here. And sorry if my child just started spring break, technically, because she doesn't have school tomorrow. So she is not happy with grandma right now. So I don't know if y'all are hearing that or not, but she is. I'm hearing the yelling and screaming up here. We got the biggest five teams to go from here. And many of them made some big moves, honestly, going in. And probably perhaps the biggest move of them all is the Chicago Red Stars and getting last year's MVP to come to your team, thus allowing for Kristen Press to go elsewhere in Sam Kerr. Somehow she still can't make the FIFA Pro 11 or anything, but you know, when you have the Women's Euro involved in that, I think it makes it difficult. But I mean, what do you think? I mean, for the three forwards that made it, still think it's unfair for Sam Kerr not to make it? She was ninth in the voting for
forwards. 17 goals. That's all I'm saying. 17 goals.
17 goals means a lot when it's, you know, and goals for your country too, not just. Hold on 1 second. Well, sometimes you gotta take breaks, but here we go. Chicago Red Stars. Talked about the big trade, allowing Sam Kerr to come to the Red Stars, along with Nikki Stanton as well. And, you know, they get Alyssa Nair as well here. And who all they have left. I mean, it's not like the team was already good to begin with. You add who you added. I mean, they are going to be in that top two. It's a short list of teams that are going to be there, but they're going to be one of them, right, Rachel? I mean,
for the playoffs?
Yeah, for
I think they're missing out.
You think they are?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think with, despite, I mean, think about it. Sam Kerr scored 17 goals last season, and Sky Blue FC still didn't make the playoffs. Now, granted, I know these are different players than Sky Blue, and I know she has Julie Ertz, but I think you have, this is going to be the most competitive NWSL season yet, honestly, in my opinion, aside from maybe the Houston Dash, because who knows what the heck Veerpaw is doing. And I think when you look at rosters from Washington, North Carolina, Utah, and the North Carolina Courage. Did I say them already?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah.
Well, North Carolina, Washington, Utah, and Orlando. Yeah. Orlando. Those are the four teams I have making the playoffs. And if you look at those rosters, there's so much cohesion, and there's so much, I think they're all just going to gel together really well. And I think when you look at your comparing rosters, granted, I mean, we're not going to learn who's going to be on top during these first couple weeks. It's going to take time. But I don't know. I think Chicago barely misses it. It was really hard to say that about Chicago and Seattle, but yeah.
I mean, Chicago almost missed it last year. So, you know, it's it is a very thin line when you get to that, you know, third, fourth. It could be a thin line from first to, like, fifth or sixth this year, you know, depending. If some of the teams at the lower end, you know, don't hold up, you could have a very top-heavy league. And, you know, those five teams are fighting out the whole season, or it could be more up and down. It just... They do have solid or great players in each spot, though. Sometimes in that spine that you need, they have that. And that, it, barring injuries, which always seem to happen, especially with playing for your national team and all that, it's almost inevitable that these key players are going to get hurt. Do they have the depth? And I think that's where... You wonder if that depth is going to let them down at some point. But when you're looking at the stars, they have the stars to carry them. And that's going to be interesting. If they can gel all together, they could make a run, you know. But I think this is going to be one of the interesting teams to watch for sure when it comes to this season. I kind of want to sneak them into fourth personally. I think I might do that, but it's not one of those, like, for sure. Like, the other three that I have in the playoffs, I'm a kind of for sure. But that fourth one, I feel like, is kind of up in the air for me, and I might put Chicago there. Eric, you have a thought at all on...
I mean... I know it's going to be an open league. I don't see North Carolina running away like they did last year. I don't know. I think Chicago does making some moves, and they fight probably those last couple weeks of the season, sneak in top four. They might not go as high as three, though. Utah's a bit of an interesting proposition. Orlando's going to want to get revenge. North Carolina is going to want to show. Ugh, this is a little sticky.
Yes, a very sticky situation going on.
It's competitive.
Yeah. It's super competitive. And if you want a taste of that, just where... You know, North Carolina, Portland, Orlando already had key pieces, and each kind of, you know, North Carolina probably had the biggest addition of those three. But if you want to talk about additions, Seattle probably had the most. And yeah, they're going to be another interesting team. That you already had a nice roster that, again, another team that barely missed the playoffs, and you're adding who you're adding here, and Allie Long to a Jody Taylor, a Jasmine Spencer, to a Megan Rapinoe, Kawasumi and Itsugi. I mean, yeah.
And that's why I didn't want to pick them missing the playoffs, but I did. It, like I said, so hard. And like, I think one of the best offseason acquisitions that they did get is Yael Averbuch too, because they really needed some help on defense, and she is one of the best defenders to play in the NWSL, to play for the U.S. Women's National Team. And I'm glad you mentioned Naomi Kawasumi, because I think she's just the dark horse of the NWSL. Everyone wants to shine the light on Rapinoe, and now everyone's going to shine the light on Allie Long. Why? Because they're national team players. But I think Naomi Kawasumi is just... she is just so good, and I know last year her name was mentioned a lot. And their defense, by the way, not just with Averbuch, but it got stacked with Steph Catley and Megan Oyster, too. Mm-hmm. And they're joining someone who's already really made her name on defense, and that's Lauren Barnes. I think Vlatko did a really nice job getting a lot of good players. And defense is his specialty, because he had... at one point, he had Becca Moros, Becky Sauerbrunn, and Yael Averbuch on the same team. He knows what he's doing with defense.
Yeah, I mean, if you can, you've got players that can score. If you're able to keep the other team on the lower end, you're going to win most of the time. Now, Seattle is going to have a problem of missing Lydia Williams for the first month, because she's off to the Asian championships, but Michelle Bedos is not anybody to mess with. She played for Norway at the Euros last year, so if she can fill in decently in Lydia Williams' stead for the first four games,
honestly, okay. I like her better than Lydia Williams. Oh, hello, dog.
Sorry.
It's okay. I love dogs. But I like her a lot better than Lydia Williams, because if you really think about it, look back to last season, Lydia Williams got replaced by Jane Campbell down in Houston, and she got replaced for a reason. So I like Michelle Bedos better.
Hold on. All right, so it looks like, Rachel, this is who you have as your fourth team in the playoffs, right? Seattle?
Seattle, no. They are... no, I don't have Seattle making the playoffs, as hard as it was for me to pick against them. I have them finishing out the season in sixth place under the Red Stars.
Well, there you go. See why this is going to be so competitive here. We'll do our final tallies at the end. Just thought I'd give us a little preview there of what's to come. So I guess we can go ahead and talk about the big three. At least it felt like the big three from last year. And for the most part, they stay the same. And we're going to start with your Orlando Pride. Eric, I mean, they go in at Celine LaRue, of course, because, you know, she had to be with her husband Dom there. They added an Emily Von Egmond. They added a Haley Kottmeyer and goal as well. I mean, some pretty nice adds for Orlando to a team that was already stacked. I mean, you get to have a like triple threat forward line and Marta.
I mean, now granted, as someone who just about every chance they get in many different gaming platforms tries out a 4-3-3 to some moderate success, I mean, something like this would be insane to watch. And the one thing that I'm afraid of, not so much a hot start, not so much anything like the whole of last season, but really kind of towards the end. I don't want to start by seeing them be powerhouse, 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 and then magically go and kind of fade away. I'll take a steady second, third position if it means a quick playoff run to the title. I'm hoping that this is kind of how it's going to go down, but at this rate, I've been wrong before. I've had my heart broken before.
And, Rich, you can certainly see Martha's influence after being there for a year. They've almost become like Team Brazil mixed in with Team USA.
And I love the Brazilian additions, too. They brought Pollyanna over from Houston as well. God only knows why Veerpaw gave her away. But Camilla will be coming back from an ACL injury, I would assume, towards the middle of the season, and maybe towards the end. She did tear her ACL all the way back in the playoffs, back in like September, I believe. And Monica's on that team as well. They have so many good Brazilians. They have so many good U.S. players. I think it was interesting when they got Haley Kottmeyer from Seattle, because Haley Kottmeyer's is starter material. I don't know if that'll maybe bring some pressure to Ashlyn Harris. She didn't have the best season last year, and when she went down, Aubrey Bledsoe, who's now with the Washington Spirit, just came and took over. I would love to see some good goalkeeper competition between the two of them. But I think one of the biggest things for Orlando, and Eric, I'm going to need you to help me with the name again.
Okay.
The Bug.
Ugababu or something?
Ubagagu?
Ubogagu?
Yeah, something like that. Orlando needs to make sure that they don't push her back so much. I like Sydney LaRue. I always have. But I'm just going to go with her nickname, Chai. We're going to go with Chai because that's what her nickname is. Chai has been with Orlando. Say what?
Chioma Ubogagu.
Chioma. Okay, we can work with that. Chioma has been with Orlando longer. She's played with this team longer. And I know, she's not a national teamer. She got called up once. I don't even know if she made an official appearance yet for the national team. She was called up back in January, I think. But she's not a national teamer like Sydney LaRue. I get that. But I think she's better. I'd like to see her play more.
Yeah, I mean, if you can add that in to Alex Morgan and Marta, and you wonder where Sydney LaRue fits into all this, too. Is she going to be okay with just, hey, I'm in Orlando, I'm there with my husband, and I don't play that much, but I'm getting paid some money? That might be what she's doing, because it's going to be hard of fitting her in with the rest of the contingent that's there. You're bringing in, Emily Von Eggman as well, who's going to have to get some time there in the midfield. I mean, you got to adjust to some new pieces in defense. I mean, just, again, you got to shuffle around some of the team. You might be trying to outscore your opponents for a little bit, but if they can get it all together, this is the team. I think that last year, when they made the big additions, we were like, I think everybody was ready to put them at the top, and we didn't factor in, I think, the presence of having the chemistry that Portland and North Carolina would be able to show when it came to down to it. I think this might be the year where Orlando says, okay, we've had the year of having our top two going in. Alex Morgan is on hot fire form, where she was coming in on a bit of a downtrend last year. Martha's been able to adjust and be herself. I think, I don't know. This is going to be hard when we come down to picking the playoffs, but I think Orlando really has a chance this time.
I think they have a chance to make it all the way to the final.
As do I.
Well, we will announce that right here after we get done talking about two more teams. Of course, these are the two teams that were in the final last year that I just mentioned. We'll have to go with the loser first. Really, if you look at what happened in that game, it was really unfair to say they should have been the loser, but it is what it is at this point. They add the huge addition of Crystal Dunn coming from Chelsea back to NWSL. You also add in Alyssa Chapman as well. You do lose Ashley Hatch, but you got to say a sort of like-for-like replacement in getting the Crystal Dunn back. You lose Taylor Smith, who came on and had a great season and was able to debut for the national team. Don't know if the two defenders you brought in are going to equal her, but you got enough there that I think the two big players you did lose, I think you'll be okay. Lynn Williams was fantastic last year, and she continues to be fantastic for the national team. And the rest of this team pretty much stays the same. It's hard to say they're not going to be right up there at the top again.
And their defense is so good. They have such a really good balance between attack and defense. And a lot of that goes with Abby Dahlkemper. She and Abby, I think it's Erceg. They're both so good. Losing Taylor Smith is going to be, I think, more costly than a lot of people realize. But I think they'll manage. Maybe they'll have a bump or two in the first couple weeks. But they are just such a really good, even mix. And that midfield, you have Samantha Muse, and she's just incredible. But don't forget about McCall Zerboni. She is one of my favorite players in the NWSL. I absolutely love the skill that she has, and she knows exactly how to play the game and how to play it smart. I wish she would get more call-ups with the national team. I really feel like they only called her up for that one match because it was in Cary, North Carolina. That's it. But she's such a good player. I don't think she gets the recognition she deserves. Denise O'Sullivan is another player that I think doesn't get the recognition she deserves. And you know that North Carolina, they were the Western New York Flash before. Now they're the North Carolina Courage. They want to make it back to that NWSL championship game. And I think that they can do it. I think it's really tough to come when it comes to the playoff teams that I have going to the playoffs. Anyone can make it to the championship game. And I think North Carolina has all the tools in place to do it. I love Paul Riley. I think he's one of the best coaches in the NWSL. Sorry, Portland Thorns fans. I like him a lot better than I like Mark Parsons. And I like him a lot better than coaches like Laura Harvey and Jim Guevara. I think he's just the best coach in the league right now. Maybe that'll change. Maybe Vera Paul will be the best head coach in the NWSL. Who knows at this point?
But that would certainly be coach of the year material if she is.
I love the way North Carolina is. I love the way they're run. I love their stadium. Everything about them is just fantastic.
Yeah, they are the model franchise, along with Portland, I think, to say, look at what this league can do. And it helps with North Carolina as far as, you know, that they moved the men's team. Same owner of North Carolina FC is also the owner of North Carolina Courage, and right now the Courage are showing them how it's done. And I think it's if your forward combination of Lynn Williams and Crystal Dunn can work out, and even if you move Lynn over to, say, the left and you put someone else there, I think that's going to be key. The defense is great, as you mentioned. The midfield, again, this is all stacked. I think I for sure I got him in the playoffs, but man. This is going to be difficult when you talk about who's making it to that final and who's winning. When you're talking about the NWSL, you can't leave out the champions. People may not like the way that they won last year, but they won. Right? At the end of the day, when you're talking about 2017 NWSL, Portland Thorns FC are your champs, and they're coming back with 14 players, and you also add more players onto that. So, I mean, it's like you got the best of both worlds. You're adding in Andresenia. You're adding in Caitlin Ford. I mean, I think Midge Purse is also going to help you out here, too. You lost Allie Long. You lost Nadia Nady. I mean, the three you lost are big key players. So we'll see how much that's felt, because Nadia Nadine was very vital for them last year. So was Allie Long. So can Mark Parsons, with what they brought in, just keep firing away and defend that title? What do you think, Rachel?
I think they miss out on the playoffs. I think losing Nadia Nadim, Dagny Brynjestad, I don't even know how to say her last name. She's Icelandic. She's got that whole thing going on. Amadine Henri and Allie Long. I think those are just... And you have Tobin Heath, who has been injured... Who's injured again, and who knows what's going on with her? I think the losses are going to be more drastic on the season than people realize. You forgot to mention my favorite player for one of their pickups in the dispersal draft, Angela Salem. I love Angela Salem. She's one of my favorite players in the NWSL. Loved her for Boston last year. She won the MVP for Boston, and frankly, I was surprised that she didn't get picked sooner. She got picked 15th overall. And granted, I mean, there's big names in front of her, but I had my qualms about her getting picked over Savannah McCaskill, somebody who didn't even play a minute in NWSL action. And honestly, I think Angela Salem is my player to watch because she's filling in a big role left by Allie Long, because Allie Long was the defensive midfielder. That's Angela Salem's expertise. And now she fills that big role in, and she's got to manage a lot. She has to manage all the people in front of her. She has to help manage the people behind her, too. But, I mean, you're pairing up her up with a really solid defense. You're pairing her in the midfield with Lindsay Horan, which is just a fantastic combination. It's going to be interesting. But I just don't see Portland making it back to the postseason.
Yeah, I agree with you. The losses that they lost here are when, who I didn't even mention until you did, when Mark Parsons says Amadine Henri will never replace her. I mean, that tells you a lot about, okay, that's one player. But can you say you really replaced Nadia Nadim? You didn't. I mean, we don't know a whole lot about Caitlin Ford. You're hoping that she can come and bring that in. Christine Sinclair, look, she's been the ageless wonder. But does that catch up to her at some point? Right? That's got to happen. And, you know, Adriana Franck has been fantastic. I think she can certainly do that again. Man. Can the team gel together, and also just can you deliver what you got to deliver last year, which is really good defense and scoring, and that may not be the same. I was going to have them be in the playoffs just to give them that, like, champion's benefit of the doubt. Right? But, man, Rachel can... I don't know. She might have convinced me.
I'm quite persuasive.
She is... Well, guys, I think we have to make those final. Rachel already has hers, like, locked in. She knows. She's been doing these previews. She had to think about them a long time. Eric and I, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants here. We're having to just make these decisions on this podcast. Of course, you people can decide if you want to hold us to them or not. I have learned something today that apparently it doesn't matter how many predictions you make wrong. You just got to make them with confidence, right? That's what matters at the end of the day. So... who you got in the playoffs here? Your big four, your final four, and then who you got in the final and who you got winning?
Me first or Eric?
Yeah, since you've had that time to think about it.
Since I got it locked and loaded. North Carolina, I think, takes number four. I think Orlando Pride takes number three, and the Washington Spirit take number two, and I have the Utah Royals winning the NWSL Shield in their inaugural season. I had a really hard time picking where I wanted Washington to go, and I decided to be bold for a little bit. This year, I took a step back on my March Madness bracket and decided not to be bold, so I kind of have to be bold in another area now. So I took Washington at number two. I think their youngsters are just really going to surprise a heck of a lot of people. Oh, man, the playoffs is so hard. I'm going to say it's going to be Orlando and Utah in the finals. That's so hard to pick between Orlando and North Carolina. I love Washington, but I think with how young their team is, I think that might come back to get them in the playoffs. But North Carolina, Orlando, Utah, all filled with veterans, but it was so hard to pick between Orlando and North Carolina. But I think it's time to give another team a shot. This isn't like the NBA, where we have Golden State and Cleveland going to the finals for the last 3 years. And then I have Utah winning the whole thing. Like I said, wasn't too bold with the March Madness bracket. Go Kentucky Wildcats, by the way. And so I had to take the boldness out in another route. I like the off-season moves that they made. I like that Laura Harvey's back. And she's overdue for an NWSL championship. She lost twice to Vlatko Andovsky, and he's in Seattle now. She's basically they did a quote coaching swap. She's basically inheriting his team, and how funny would that be if she won the playoffs with his old team, with a few additions. So those are my picks. We'll see what happens.
That would be really, really interesting if that were to happen, honestly. That's a fantastic story, really, just waiting to be written right there if that happens. So I'm going to go with Orlando at one, Utah at two, North Carolina at three, and I'm going to sneak in the Chicago Red Stars at four just because I said I would, and I'm going to stick with that. Orlando is going to beat Chicago. I've got Utah beating North Carolina. And I've got Orlando winning it all this time around. Just, I think with Alex Morgan being back to herself, you got Marta again having the experience. She has more of her Brazilian friends. They're going to have more of that flair going on. I think the defense is going to be better. And even then, even if the defense doesn't click necessarily, I think with the goalkeeping you have back there and the ability to just score at will, it seems like almost, I think that'll cover them for some games. Even if you suffer some injuries, you have the depth. And I'm going to hope for a much more fun and much more goal scoring happening in the final, but Orlando is going to win.
I'm hearing everything, I'm taking everything into account, but you know those times when your gut just tells you something? You gotta go and run with it. That said, that fourth spot is going to be a dogfight. Dogfight. I'm not terribly as high on Utah yet, but I do have them sneaking in more at that four spot. I've got Chicago at three. And from Orlando and North Carolina, I see Orlando getting off to, like I said, that great start. But they'll probably slip a little bit. And I think they'll wind up as the two, and with North Carolina the one. But I think the courage and pride, they take care of business, and I do have Orlando beating North Carolina. North Carolina getting another dose of heartbreak in the final again.
At least we have three different champions here. Oh, we have two. We have me and Eric have the same. So, and then we have Rachel having her own. So this will be interesting.
It's all her boys.
Yeah, you know, we'll get to see if, you know, the NWSL expert gets to outshine us all here, or we get lucky, right?
Or I just crash and miserably fail.
That could happen too. We can all look bad. Who knows? I mean, there's only 9 teams in this league, so we can either all look bad or we're going to look great talking about this. But I'm really excited. I'm excited for, we are 2 days away from the season starting. You get that triple header on Saturday again with the Lifetime game. The rematch of the NWSL final, Portland taking a visit to Cary, North Carolina, Wake Med Soccer Park to go face North Carolina Courage. Then you get Orlando and Utah at 7:30. Go 90. You need to watch it. And you need to watch Washington Spirit in Seattle at 10. Go 90. If you're not doing anything, seriously, don't worry about whatever MLS game's going on. There isn't no EPL or that was in the morning, 10 p.m. Go watch some freaking Washington Seattle, because there's going to be some fire going on in that game. You got the youngsters, you got Megan Rapinoe and the rest of that big Seattle team. That's going to be fun. And then you got Sunday coming. You get to see what's going on with Houston, probably without Kristen Press, and at home against the new look Chicago Red Stars. So to close out that Sunday, and of course we'll be back on Sunday to talk about all those games, break down the action of what happened, and just get to celebrate that first week of the season. We'll of course go over some of the MLS results, get ready for that U.S. Men's National Team game that's happening on the 27th against Paraguay, and more. So a lot to look forward to come Sunday. Hopefully you enjoyed what you heard here. Hopefully you enjoyed both of our previews, which you'll be able to hear on Last Word Radio. That's, of course, part of Last Word on Soccer and their whole radio network over there. Of course, you can always listen to us on the WTM Network or just Soccer to the Max. Hit subscribe. Anytime we do a show, it is right there. And, yeah, visit WTMnet.com, and we'll see you on Sunday night. Later, everybody.
Peace.
Go Kentucky!
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
You bring your phone everywhere. Work, school, the movies. Now you can bring it to an Xfinity store for an easy way to switch to Xfinity Mobile, a new kind of network designed to save you money. You can get up to 5 lines of talk and text included with Xfinity Internet at no extra cost, so all you pay for is data. It's never been easier to switch to Xfinity Mobile and keep the phone you love. Click here to see how. Sorry, I gotta take this. Restrictions apply. Limited to select mobile phones. Requires activation of a new line of Xfinity Mobile. Up to 5 devices per account. New Xfinity Internet customers limited to up to 2 lines pending activation of Internet service.